Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Life Work Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March 27, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is amazing wherever you are at. It's definitely sunny, and I am wearing shorts today, so go figure, right? It is Monday. I just thought I would sit down. Had a big weekend, big week coming up. I shared in the past few podcasts that I had the big canoe club rowing practice on Sunday, which I shared, I think, that it was making me a bit nervous. I think I talked about why, whether it's, my biggest problem is my back. My back is, I've shared before, I injured it in 99. It's a thing. But I tell you what, guys, this weekend was phenomenal. And I did do the rowing club, and it was amazing. I got my ass kicked, but it was still amazing. I wasn't sure what to expect. So these are those outrigger canoes that have the, that look like from Hawaii Five-O, that have the canoe with the arms, with the ballast thing or whatever the thing is out there. It has a name. It's my first practice. Give me a couple weeks, and I'll get these names down. But you know what I'm talking about. And so three boats went out on Sunday. It was me, my group, another group, and a third group, two kinds of boats, and then a more older traditional style of boat, but they were all basically big canoes without riggers that seated six folks. And I was, like I said, I was nervous, right? I was a little sketched out on the whole thing. One, we were rowing in the canal. Two, it's winter. Three, I wasn't sure what to wear. Yada, yada, yada. So fast forward a bit, went to Sunday comes along. I get down there early. It's so awesome, right? It's just this big group of folks. I guess there must be, so three boats, six people in, three times six, and the last time I did math was 18. So there must have been 18 of us down there. There was probably a few other people that were just sort of interested in what we were doing. We actually launched out of this by the baseball fields down in Lewis, Delaware. And, so when we got there, we first had to move these giant boats, which was interesting. You can kind of put them on this rolling wheel, and then you can kind of wheel the boat over to the area. It was pretty cool. Once we got everybody together, we wheeled the boats out into the water. Everybody got on board, and the rowing began. I am not a, I feel I'm an active person, right? I spend activities. I like to run and I'll do whatever. I like to play golf, whatever I can do. There's certain things I'm not going to do that's going to possibly create injury. I'm not doing flag football. I did that in the past. Nothing too physical, but I do like to be active. I like to ride my bike, and like I said, I run and all that stuff. But boy, this was a different level. But it was cool. The way that it sort of works, and I won't get into too much of it, but, if you got six people, every other seat rows to one side, and then the other. So one, three, five, all row on the left, and then two, four, and six all row to the right. so that we're balanced, right? And we sort of have to lean to the left because the outrigger thing is on the left, and you don't want to hoolie, right? Hoolie means to flip the boat, and you don't want to flip the boat, especially yesterday because it was freaking, the water was cold. But, you know, we get in the boat, and there's some orders that are given in a more of a Hawaiian language that I can't remember, but the point was it's get your paddles ready and row. And I don't know, it's probably 15 strokes on each side. You know, you just kind of get in. One, two, you're not counting, but, and the guy in the front of the boat's definitely counting out these rows, and then you get to a certain point, and then he goes, blah, blah, and then you switch to the other side. I will learn the terms, I promise, you know, but they're, you know, hoi and huana or something like that. And on the second one, you basically transfer your oar to the other side. You have to do it sort of smoothly so that you all stay together. Right. It was a lot of fun, but man, I tell you, it was definitely hard. We headed north up the canal into the wind. And it was very windy yesterday. I was not expecting that. So we headed north into the wind, and we paddled probably a mile and stopped and took a break. And then, no, we paddled probably 2 miles and stopped and took a break. And then we kind of regrouped and then started paddling again and went for about another 2.4 miles and then took another break. And I was dying. I didn't give up, right? I stayed with it, but my gosh, it was definitely a struggle. And my left side of my rowing action started to struggle at the end because I'm just not as strong on my left as I am on the right. So it was a lot of fun. I'm going to join this club, and I will be doing this again. But I tell you what, man, at the end of the four, when we got to the first 4.4 miles, I think we did 8.44 miles. So the first 4.2, I guess, was really a struggle, man. Into the wind, a little bit white caps in the water. It was brutal. And, I mean, at one point, I started to get, I think the big mistake is that I made was that I went and I ate before I went down there and did the practice. I was like, I should probably eat something. So I made eggs and a hash brown or something. I don't know. Just something, you know, to give me some protein. And, oh, my God, it was like, I felt like I had acid reflux. And I think it's just this, you know, you're kind of sitting right in this canoe that is tight, right? It's not like a big wide canoe. It's basically as wide as your hips. I mean, I didn't have to squeeze down, but there's not much more room after that. And so, and then you're kind of folded over and your knees are kind of up. And I just kind of was in this position and rowing. And then I was, you know, at some point I just looked down at the water and just was grinding, you know, boom. And I'm kind of watching the guy two seats ahead of me because I'm trying to stay. Because ideally you want the paddles to all go in the water at the same time, pull the stroke, and then everybody out at the same time. So this rhythm, you know, obviously it makes sense. So, you know, I'm watching that guy. And at one point I'm just kind of looking down at the water, just kind of grinding, right? Because the pain, it was brutal. You know, I'm dying. But I'm like, you know, I'm just going to focus. I'm going to just put my nose down to the grindstone and just get through it. But I do get a little seasick, and I think I started getting a little queasy, and then I felt like I had acid reflux from eating all that food, and I was suffering big time at the end of the first stretch, right? I mean, my mouth is dry. I can't spit. I feel like I'm going to puke. It was brutal, partially because I'm just, you know, I don't row, right? I'm not a rower. I've never rowed in one of these canoes. I've never even, I mean, of course, I've probably paddled a canoe, you know, from camp or something, the YMCA camp, but not something I do. I'm not a kayaker. I'm not anything. So, but I, you know, I felt like I did pretty good. My issue was my oar kept hitting the side of the boat, and I was noticing nobody else's was, so I kept focusing on that and trying to keep it clean. And but I tell you, at the end of that stretch, I was struggling. And luckily, we sat for a few minutes and sort of regained my composure. And then once we turned around, we headed back down the canal, headed south with the wind. And, you know, we were flying. It was much easier, but still, you know, just the motion, you know, just that motion was awesome. And I'm so glad I did it. My nervousness, I think, was appropriate. It was tough. It was definitely a struggle, But I did it. And, you know, my fear was like, if I can't, like, what happens if I got to stop? Like, I don't want to, you know, hold down the boat. I didn't see anybody else stopping. But I think I was the only person doing it for the first time also. So the girl that was behind me, she's like, listen, if you want to, you know, hold your oar up and just take a, you know, a couple sessions series, you know, of rowing and just kind of rest for a second, you're more than welcome to. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I did. I had to do it a couple of times. But, man, I could feel the boat slow down, right? I'm like, oh, no. Now I'm just sort of being carried, and I wanted to be part of it. So, you know, I would take it just a second and then dig back in. It was great. I, you know, one of the great things for me about sobriety is just this ability to say yes to really whatever I want to say yes to.
When I'm by myself, I find my mind starts drifting somewhere else. It's not inside this, don't mention it's definitely somewhere else. I wrestle with my thoughts, constant wrestle with my mental health. I'm put on life support, I've been put upon a high shelf. My whole life I've been fighting, this cake it don't have icing. These mantras I'm reciting, they're meant to keep me sane. I don't know if they're working, cerebral cortex hurting. Maybe it's all learning. Maybe it's cause life is a lottery. What's an anomaly? Sometimes it's riches and sometimes it's poverty. Sometimes your nerves have been fried by neuropathy, begging the surgeon to have a lobotomy. Honestly, I'ma speak honestly. Honestly, life is ironically fucking me chronically. I have been illing myself and it bothers me. License for killing myself, call me Connery. I'ma be straight with you now. I'ma go straight for the heart. People dilate in the dark. People dilate in the dark. No, it was late for the art. No, it was late for the art. Genesis rain in the rain when it start. Genesis pain in the art. Genesis aim for the heart. Genesis.
Yeah. Oh, Ren. Ren, that guy is probably the most talented dude I've come across in a long time. Check him out. I mean, I've been diving deep in that guy's catalog and his videos, and he is just multifaceted, talented guy who definitely sings a lot about recovery, the struggles, addiction. I'm not sure he's really been addicted. Just I think he struggles with the autoimmune disease. I think he got he got bit by a tick, so he got, help me. I can't remember. I'll remember in a second, but he's great. Go check him out. A huge fan of that guy, but, so, you know, it is a gift, you know, when you, first thing I wanted to say is, you know, I listened to that podcast I don't know if I did it yesterday or the day before, and just this, you know, I don't ever want to come on, you know, if you're new to this program, just hang in there, right? I don't ever want to seem like I'm not supportive of a newcomer or someone that's in the program but just hasn't quite sort of settled in, still hasn't had sort of that awakening like I had when I realized that I was really a self-centered person, completely oblivious. And maybe I was a slightly aware of it, but not to the degree that I was. And so, but that, you know, that takes time, right? If you have been struggling with addiction and you come into a program, just hang in there, right? Just keep coming. Keep coming. Make as many friends as you can. Get a sponsor. Sign up for as many coffee commitments as you can. Be a greeter. Lead a meeting. Whatever you can do just to become part of that group so that when you have those up and down days, whether you're feeling amazing, right, or you're feeling ultra low, you still have that group, right? You still have that commitment. That's why, you know, I share that I do Monday. I do a Monday a meeting on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm not missing any of those meetings. And just when, you know, if I do have a bad day or if I'm having a bad week, I can still keep showing up at these meetings and keep being reminded of, you know, more than likely any problem I'm having, I'm probably part of the problem, right? You know, just staying humble. Staying, you know, teachable, staying, you know, with, you know, willing, right? Willing, willing, willing. And so I don't ever want to come off like, you know, shit, if you ain't going to do it like this, forget it. Because that's not how I want to sound. And I kept listening to that podcast. I'm like, are you going to take that tone, and I never did, right? Because my whole point is, you know, sometimes we're farther along than we think, and to just relax, right, give ourselves a bit of a break, you know. In the appendix somewhere in the big book, I think it talks about that spiritual awakening. And, you know, I remember looking at it and saying, well, I haven't reached the spiritual awakening that I thought I was going to, but compared to the day that I walked in, I have improved, right? I'm at least saying the word spiritual awakening, right? I'm at least sort of aware of it. I have gotten a little bit better. It definitely takes time. And honestly, we're in no hurry, right? Just when I feel like I'm starting to understand, something else comes through my life and I'm like, ah, I'm still confused. And then other things are revealed and it brings me peace and hope. And then I'm like, the next day, I'm like, what am I doing? So just hang in there, right? Just hang in there. And the other thing I want to talk about today was that, you know, this week is I'm going to step meeting and it is on the 10th step, which is awesome, right? Awesome. And I'm going to read it. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Should I read the whole thing? I guess. Can we stay sober and keep emotional balance under all conditions? Self-searching becomes a regular habit. Admit, accept, patiently correct defects. Emotional hangover, when past is settled with, present challenges can be met. Varieties of inventory, anger, resentment, jealousy, envy, self-pity, hurt, pride, all led to where the bottle. Self-restraint, first objective, insurance against big shotism. Let's look at credits as well as debits. Examination of motives. Examination of motives, yeah. That is an underlying thread that sort of runs through this whole program, is that underlying or examination of motives. You know, that's sort of like the shopping cart. But the 10th step to me is, you know, and I shared this in that podcast, man, there's a lot of great stuff that happens before this 10th step. We have hopefully made some changes, right? We've surrendered. We've given up. We admitted. We've done all of those things that are humble. All of those things that are basically building a relationship with a higher power, right? We're doing the right stuff. Sometimes I think to do things that involve a higher power or a spiritual awakening, it has to include like going to church or carrying a Bible or saving people. Maybe it does in some people's lives. It doesn't in mine. You know, I have to, because I'm not a big fan of religion, right? I understand it. I may need it one day. I may need the socialism of religion one day as I get older to be part of a community. I don't know. Our world has changed so much just in my lifetime, right? And so I remember coming in and worrying about that, right? This religious part. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to grab people off bar stools. I don't want to pull people in and share the word, right? It's not me. But if you explain to me that if I make good decisions, you know, my will, my decisions are good, then that's sort of a relationship with the higher power. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff that goes on. It happens over time. But when you finally get to it, that 10th step, man, continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. One of the things that happened to me when I first got sober, or as I've gotten sober, is that when situations came up, you know, in the past, if you'd have said to me, you know, I've shared the example of my buddy Scott, there's been a few of these brain creases in my life that really made me stop and think. And one of them was that time I called my buddy Scott a chatty Cathy, and he called me, he said that hurt his feelings, and yada, yada, yada. And I remember I felt about 1 inch tall, right? That didn't used to bother me back in the drinking days, right? I probably wasn't having conversations with guys like my buddy Scott, right? It was, you know, different types of folks probably weren't expressing their feelings, right? But I do remember when he said that, I felt about an inch tall, and it just kept resonating and kept resonating, and I couldn't get rid of it, right? It just kept bouncing around. It just didn't feel good, and that's what this step is good for, right? It's for me to be accountable and say, hey, didn't need to really say that, right? I was trying to be funny. That is old behavior. That's how I fit in. That's how I was able to have conversations. That's how I was able to be part of a group. You know, if I drew a cast of characters, right, I was the guy that was sarcastic, would say hurtful things, all at the expense of others to make myself feel better and feel part of. That was my character, right? And so when I brought that, it's not that I brought it. It's just who I was. I hadn't worked on it. I wasn't really aware of it. And it took someone like my buddy Scott to point it out in just a subtle way, right? Hey, bro, that hurt my feelings. I don't appreciate that. And I was just like, and it kept bouncing around and bouncing around, and I couldn't get rid of it, right? That's what the step does, man. You say, listen, you're a dumbass. You should have never said that. I go to Scott. I say, hey, man, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. It was sarcasm. It wasn't necessary. And I apologize. And that pain will go away, right? There's a difference when you apologize. Hey, sorry about that, right? Casualties of war. And then there's apologies like, shit, I screwed up. My behavior, my actions are what caused this problem, and it doesn't feel good. And so, you know, this constantly, what was it? I want to say it right correctly. This constant, examination of motives, right? What is my motive? You know, to be part of the conversation, to feel better about myself? I don't know. You know, I used to have a friend that was always about making fun of other people, especially me, right? I really liked this guy. I thought he was awesome. You know, he's a good business guy. You know, big fan of some of the music that I like. We'd become friends. It was almost like becoming eighth grade friends again, right? We really had a great time, and I really thought he was awesome, but he loved to be sarcastic, and he would love to make fun of other people. And he would say it, I make fun of other people. You know, go ahead and let me have it. I get it, but that's just what I do. And, you know, we sort of say, okay. And then it almost gives this guy the green light to do that. But it hurts people's feelings, right? And then when you point it out, hey, man, that hurts my feelings. Oh, toughen up, man. You know, it's like, it's real easy to see in other people. It's not always easy to see in myself until somebody points it out. And then your ego gets kicked. You feel humiliated. Right, there's humble, humiliated is where you get exposed, and then there's humiliation when ego takes a complete nosedive. And I felt humiliated. It was the fast track, and I didn't like it. But that's what this step does, is it allows us to say, hey, I'm going to try to learn from this. I apologize. You know, this was what was behind it, I guess. Or at least you can take a look and say, hey, man, you shouldn't, you know, sarcasm. I think the definition of sarcasm, or the Greek definition, is to the tearing of flesh, right? Sarcasm, the tearing of flesh. Didn't know that. Someone told me that. I was like, ouch, right? But, it, you know, you may not have to say, hey, sarcasm, sorry, but it definitely realizes when my mouth shouldn't have opened, right? I should have just been all... And then I try to think, well, what would have been the right answer? Hey, man, did you have a great chat? Great. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Nothing. Maybe nothing. Restraint from pen and tongue. But this is a great step, and I'm excited to go to the meeting tonight and read the step. But I tell you, this step plays a big role in my life. Everything that goes on in my day, you know, I don't like to feel uncomfortable about anything. Ideally, I hope that I've already learned a lot of stuff ahead of time, that I don't need to constantly be making amends and apologizing, right? You know, it's one thing to do something, get called out on it, you know, make amends, and then do it again, right? But it's nice when we can learn and say, you know, and that's why, what's this phrase? Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? And does it need to be said by me right now? You know, if we can take a pause and say, okay, what did I want to say? What should I say? Maybe nothing, right? But we can take a pause, right? We can, but it's, you know, hopefully I've learned, right, from these situations. I tell you what, when There's been a few of them, you know. The big one I remember was with my buddy Matt when he was having a big party, and I asked him if he could move the date because I was moving. That really exposed what a self-centered fucking prick I was. I was like, oh. He's like, yeah, let me just move this whole party because you have to work. And I was like, oh, my God. I said it. It came out. I did it again. I'm a loser. But I tell you what, boy, if any situation like that comes up, I think before I speak, right? I'm like, okay, is this the right thing to say? You know, unfortunately, a situation happened recently where a buddy of mine was talking about some of the stuff that was going on in his life, and I kept comparing it to situations in my life. I kept making it about me. And it's sometimes hard to be relatable, right? I just want to be relatable and share how, you know, this has happened in my life and this is how I did it. Sometimes it ends up sounding like I'm making it about me. And I guess I probably was. I mean, he didn't say anything. He didn't give a shit. But to me, I'm like, God, Tom, stop making it about you. You know, why can't you just sit there and listen to the guy? And so, you know, I was thinking about that. And as the conversation went on, I just said, you know, just listen, you know, be the guy that just listens. Stop making it about, oh, yeah, 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 that happened to me. And, you know, be aware. And sometimes I can get myself headed towards a jam and then recognize it and then steer out of the jam a bit, you know, just grazed the jam, but didn't quite dive into the jam. And, you know, it's better than what I used to do, right? Before I went head first, right into it, mouth, open mouth, insert foot. And today I slightly open the mouth, don't insert the foot, and then hopefully I restrain from me and I steer away and say, hey, forget that. And but these are things I learned, right? I remember doing something, talking to my buddy Matt about something. He's like, you know, I didn't ask you to come over here and speak, right? I actually asked you to come over here and listen. And he didn't say it like that. You know, he's like, hey, can you stop by? And I was like, absolutely. And I stopped by, and he liked to sit there in silence, which to me early on recovery was brutal because I didn't know how to deal with silence. So my solution was to start talking about myself, right? And I remember he said, I didn't ask you to come over here and talk about you. I asked you to come over and listen. And I was like, yeah. And I've shared this before. And every time I went over there after that, I said nothing, right? I just listened because I learned, right? That is something that I do. I tend to make things about me. Or it's what I used to do. I hope I don't do it as much anymore. But the other day I did recognize, I was like, Tom, stop. But it's tough. How can you relate? You know, there's also this thing where you're like, well, I can't say anything that would somehow be about me, so I can't relate. It's tough, right? But one day at a time, hopefully, you know, that conversation I'll move past. You know, that was the other day. You know, I learned something that I am still capable of refraining or returning to my old behaviors. And I don't think I did it to a point where I needed to make a 10th step and make an amends and apologize. The other thing is a lot of people aren't aware of it, right? I know before I got into a program, that's all I did. We just all related. Oh, yeah, yeah, that happened to me. No, it happened to me. And you know, one of the things about getting sober is you have to have, like, you have to care, I guess, and have humility, and it's a big change. And but man, it is awesome. Super grateful. Let me see if I can read a daily reflections, and then I'm gonna skedaddle. I gotta do tax stuff, right? That's always an interesting thing. Daily reflections. All right, here we go. Oh, AA's Freedom, March 27th. We trust that we already know what our several freedoms truly are, that no future generation of AAs will ever feel compelled to limit them. Our AA freedoms create the soil in which genuine love can grow. That's right. Language of the Heart, page 303. I craved freedom. First freedom to drink, later freedom from drink. The AA program of recovery rests on the foundation of free choice. There are no mandates, laws, or commandments. AA's spiritual program, as outlined in the 12 steps, and by which I am offered even greater freedoms, is only suggested. I can take it or leave it. Sponsorship is offered, not forced, and I come and go as I will. It is these and other freedoms that allow me to recapture the dignity that I was crushed, that was crushed by burden of drink, of which is so clear or dearly needed to support an enduring sobriety. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I've shared before. When that first day I drove sober, just amazed that I wasn't driving drunk. You know, my buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, you can do whatever you want. As soon as you put that drink in your mouth, all bets are off. And he's right. You know, as soon as the drink goes in your mouth, all bets are off. You are not free to drive now. You are not free to have a conversation, right? One of the tough things about getting sober and then going back out is that you have this whole crew of friends, right, that is kind of supporting you and rooting for you. And all of a sudden, you're not free to talk to them, right? You are not free to have conversations. You are not free to share, you know, situations and ask for help because I was drunk, right? There was a period of time I was back in this town drinking and using amongst my fellow AAs, and it was a very, very tough time. But you know what's funny is that in that period, that short period that I was struggling, all the places that I was hanging out, nobody from this program was hanging out, right? There is definitely a serious separation from the two. And when I decided, when I was struggling, man, that underworld, that dark side, they accepted me right back in. I slid right back in. And the cool thing is that when I finally got the program again and teamed up with my buddy Matt, this program let me back in with open arms. And I'll always be grateful for that. So, hey, have a great day. We'll catch up later. Bye.
Myself, I find my mind starts drifting somewhere else. It's not inside this realm of thought, it's definitely somewhere else. Wage war upon my demons, I've been knocking on the gates of hell. A heretic, a heathen, I've been screaming in this padded cell. It's pain making my pain waking, it's painstakingly cold. My soul aching, my bones breaking when holding on to control. Wrap yellow tape round the body shape, put the body in the bag, zip close. It's malignant, it's mutating, it's such a sight to behold. Let me be real for a second. Tongue is a gun, it's a weapon. Reload, blah, 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 beast mode, Armageddon, get em. Let me take the wheel for a second. Hit a hoop, lash a kilo, kneel with aggression. Regroup with a 3-point steal, succession. Switch, swoop, and I'm making them feel the profession. Making them feel the profession, making them feel the profession. Time is the order, the lesson. Time is a murderous weapon. Time is a curse and a blessing. Time is confined in the eye of my mind. It reminds me that life is just slipping right by. Take my piece of the pie and I'm feeding on wine. Like I'm freedom in rhyme to defy my depression. I'ma be straight where you're now. I'ma go straight for the heart. People dilate in the dark. People dilate in the dark. No, it was late for the art. No, it was late for the art. Genesis rain in the rain when it starts. Genesis pain in the art. Genesis aim for the heart. Genesis.